Welcome back to another episode of the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yusuf, and I'm here with my host, Adam.
Hey, my name is Adam. Thank you guys for listening. As always, we want to say, can you guys follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Barca Breakdown? Love when you guys give us your commentary. Tell us what you want to talk about for the week. You can also follow us on Spotify and iTunes, and please go and leave us an iTunes review. Wow, Yus.
Yes.
The Super Bowl was a little bit crazy. You know, it caused us a little bit of delay in making the breakdown yesterday after the Levante game, but we are here, and the team is on a little bit of a hot streak.
Yeah, we're winning games. Etienne is settling down a bit. Still some issues to deal with, and we'll talk about that today.
That defense, man. I'm not going to say it's Swiss cheese level, but it's close.
True. But let's get started with, we'll backtrack a bit since we didn't make a podcast on the Barca-Leganés game in which we won 5-0.
Boom.
It was a pretty surprising game, but let's talk about the lineup, which was also almost the same lineup as the Levante game. Only difference is Rakitic. But if we look at the lineup, we have our young stud, Fati, Griezmann, and Messi starting up in the front. And then we had Semedo, or I should start in the midfield, De Jong, Busquets, and Vidal starting, which people are excited about. And then in the back, we had Semedo, Piqué, Lenglet, and Alba, and of course, Ter Stegen, the German wall in our back.
True. And then against Levante, like you kind of said, the only difference was Vidal had some thigh bruising, so we saw Rakitic as well. Overall, I was pretty excited by the lineups. I mean, we didn't know this when we just saw the front three because the early games of Setien had Griezmann on the left and Fati on the right. But I think the big difference that we saw in Leganes and Levante was that we moved Fati to the left wing, and that just seems to be way more of his natural game plan.
Yes.
As well, I think the big thing we saw in these two games was Semedo starting instead of Roberto. So even though we switched from like that 3-4-3 back to a traditional 4-3-3, Semedo seems to really be kind of kicking it into high gear under Setien.
Yeah, people are getting excited about it. And, on the pitch, he seems more comfortable. He seems to be making more touches, opening up a little more space, and even taking some shots, as we saw in both games. But let's just do a quick run-through of how we thought about the game. Messi scored two goals.
Griezmann had a great goal early on.
Yeah.
Messi, he set up that nice ball to Semedo, who kicked it to Griezmann. And then Messi also got Lenglet on the corner kick for a header in. And Arthur was able to put in a rebound that Fati and Messi couldn't score. I thought the game was, obviously a 5-0 scoreline is pretty exciting. Messi, he struggled again against Levante to score, even though his passing has been pretty awesome under Setien. He got two against Leganes, which made me very happy, as I'm always happy when Messi scores. I think the real thing about Leganes, though, we kind of joked about this on our last podcast, was, I was hoping that the Copa del Rey, quarterfinals, we would get a team that was in, the Segunda division, but we got Leganes. But they played like a second division team, right? I mean, they didn't really show up.
Yeah.
We scored in the fourth minute, so they really had no chance to, play some, defensive shell and hope to counterattack us once we scored in that fourth minute. They were basically screwed.
Well, the thing I thought was, despite the 5-0 goal line, they just didn't look like they wanted to play this game. They didn't really look into it. A lot of their shots were off. Their possession was terrible. Nothing seemed to go positively for them, and which is great for us, but we took advantage, and 5-0 is great, but it kind of, again, and we talked about this before, it kind of dilutes our true form a little bit. And I know this is a team in La Liga who's struggling. I'm glad it gave, players like Nelson Semedo and Ansu Fati some time to kind of get their gears rolling, which was I was happy about.
What do you mean that it dilutes our level of play?
It kind of gives us a false feeling of how well we're actually doing. Because I still think, despite the fact that we have, changed coaches and now we have Setien, Valverde's gone, and we complained a lot about Valverde and his decisions and whatnot, but it still seems like the team has some very prominent issues to deal with. Our defense is still lacking. Our bench is still lacking. In this Levante game, we had no options for subs. And in my eyes, I think the players that came on were not necessarily you know, amazing subs that changed the game. We had Arthur come in. We had Ricky Pooch. And then the third sub.
Sergio Roberto,
yes.
Interesting. I mean, I definitely agree with you, right? Like, I get what you're saying in terms of, I don't know if dilute is how I would say it, but it definitely, like, makes us feel like we're playing better than we are. You know, against Leganes, like all the reasons we said, we scored early. They didn't look very into the game. So you're right. It did kind of overinflate, you know, our performance. I think against Levante, right, only winning 2-1, you again see that we're having a little bit of a hard time with defense. We let up that late goal. Overall, I think, you know, I think definitely defense is the area we need to focus on most with Setien. But I would say, you know, there's two things about the Levante game that I thought were interesting. One, you know, it really does help show me that I want to see Arturo Vidal start. I think every time he starts under Setien, and even, you know, in November and December, he really just brings like an intensity and a almost desire to win that some of our other players don't. You know, without going on too much of a tangent here, I think everyone kind of sees Arthur's lost some of his, you know, level of excitement for playing. And he also seems like he's maybe a little bit overweight, spending too much time in the brothels. You know, he doesn't look that into it. I would say Frankie De Jong, like, also has not looked nearly as good as he did early on. Right. He's, you know, kind of trying to find his spot, which he was trying to find his spot under Valverde too. So I'm just hoping one of these coaches really figures out where to play him. You know, I think a lot of the talk throughout the season has been that he should be like the central defensive midfielder when we have Busquets in there. And you know, besides Arthur and Frankie not performing that well, I also, like, anytime I see Rakitic and Busquets played in the midfield, I think it's gonna leave some big problems on the counterattack. I think, you know, the one good thing about Setien, though, is I feel like every game we see some changes in our style of play to address issues that were in the previous game. So the two big ones I saw against Levante were, one is we had Stegen holding the ball a lot more instead of, like, under Valverde, how he would just lob balls deep and we would lose, like, 30% of them. Now he's kind of holding it. He's trying to get defenders to move and so that he can open up passing lanes to some of our midfielders. The other thing is we saw Busquets a lot go back and get the ball and kind of run it up from, like, the center back line. And I feel like when that happens and then we, you know, we misplace a pass and they hit us on the counter, it leaves us really exposed through the center of our field. And, you know, I think we both talked about we need defensive improvements. Definitely the counterattack is where we're getting hit, right?
Yeah. And Levante had some crosses there that, you know, could seem very dangerous in other games today. Or against us, it wasn't too bad this game, but we can't let those things, especially in other teams that we're going to face in, you know, Champions League or even La Liga down the road, could really, you know, take advantage of us. And then I did want to mention, speaking about defense, PK is doing a poor job of keeping clean of yellow cards. And, you know, we saw this this yellow card he got against Levante is going to take him out for the next game. Unfortunately, I even said, you know, when we saw him get that yellow, I was like, you know, PK is getting way too many yellow cards. He's going to get suspended soon. And then what do you know? He was at that point. One of these games, he's going to get two yellows, you know, get us a red, and then we're going to be in big trouble. I'm kind of worried about his, he's been looking better.
Well,
in
hey,
form,
let's be honest here.
Also,
okay. We all saw that Super Bowl, right? I don't know if we can blame PK for being too distracted when Shakira.
I saw a tweet about that.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's playing with Messi. He's going home to Shakira. Like, I understand the frustration, but I think you're totally right. You're a little more amped up about it than I am personally. I think, you know.
Well, it bothers me.
I think he goes in waves of being concentrated, which is not really an excuse. It's just, like, you know, something we have to accept. And generally, in the most important times of the seasons, the last few years, he's been pretty locked in. So I have some good faith that my boy PK will, you know, right the ship and get more concentrated. But I think it kind of speaks to I have a weird thoughts about this team. I don't know. For me, for some reason, there seems like there is some sort of strife. There were big reports today that on, like, last Tuesday, two of the Barca heavyweights got into a fight, and it was somewhat dramatic. And then, you know, I think everyone noticed against Levante that Messi does not seem to want to pass the ball to Griezmann, which, you know, when that type of, like, selfishness and inability to pass it to Griezmann starts, and then he's not playing his best form and not scoring a goal every game, definitely, you know, people are going to start getting a little bit upset. I think it was notable that once Roberto came in for Griezmann, we saw Messi pass to Roberto in the same spots that Griezmann was. So I kind of see, you know, why people might be upset. But then, you know, just as an overarching theme, under Setien or under Valverde, I don't know. I don't get the same feeling of passion and commitment that I did like two seasons ago from the team. Like, do you remember, I mean, of course, that season was so hyped up because we were going for the undefeated season, but do you remember that Sevilla game where Messi came in, like, the 80th minute and scored, I think, both goals, or at least one in, like, the 92nd minute to keep the invincible season alive?
I do remember that, yes.
Yeah, he was so pumped up, yeah, right? Yeah. And, like, there just seemed to be such an energy and aura around this team as if, like, they were playing to prove how good they are. I don't really get that same vibe. How do you feel about that?
I think I agree with it, but it's... The one thing I consider I was thinking at least when you said that, was that year, you know, seemed like a very good year. We won two trophies. We lost in Champions League. That was the first time that, you know, Roma hit us hard. And then the following year, we had the same thing against Liverpool. Yeah. And we only won one trophy. So it seemed like as, you know, the 2 years have passed by, the team has just gone through so many different things, including the loss of Valverde, which seemed to be hard on some of these players more than others. You know, a lot of media strife, a lot of disconnect between the team, and a lot of just emotion that has gone through. I think that, I mean, you're right. And I totally agree with you. I just think that, you know, they've gone through so much. It's like almost psychological, psychological dampening of like how they feel progressively.
One thing I would say about that is that I kind of get what you're saying, and it's also hard to kind of extract, well, is it actually that they're being psychologically dampened, or are we just seeing players who are 2 years older who 2 years ago were like 30, you know, and 30 is kind of a turning point in a soccer career. So, you know, are we just seeing older players, or is it indeed what you're saying? Like they've been through so much, they're kind of numb. I mean, kind of going along with that, you know, we saw a few months ago that the Rakuten documentary about last season and Jordi Alba crying at halftime against Liverpool. I mean, I've been under the impression that since that moment, he's really not been a great player at all. And even this weekend against Levante, we saw again that he's a liability, especially defensively. And then under Setien, it does not seem like we need that similar, you know, like, okay, get it to Alba, or Messi to Alba, back to Messi type scoring system. It seems like, you know, one thing I will say about Setien's offense is we're kind of spreading goals a little bit more, whether that's because Messi's not in his form, and if he was, you know, finishing all the chances he had like normal, he would have 5-10 goals, or if it's because, you know, we're getting Fati in, we got Lenglet scoring, we got Arthur, we got Griezmann scoring. But, yeah, overall, I just think that... I don't know. I think that something's got to give here. That there's some sort of strife internally that we need to figure out how to get over. I don't know. Like, are you in the same camp that thinks that there is indeed something between Messi and Griezmann that is causing them to not pass to each other? I mean, it seems mostly like a one-way street from Messi to Griezmann, not the other way around.
Yeah.
From what I see.
I haven't noticed the strife too much from what I've seen, but you know, I'll keep an eye out for it for the future reference and see if I really do see that. It could be, you know, you made the point that when Roberto came in for Griezmann, that you saw more of a connection where Griezmann was in the same spots and Messi was making those passes to him. I'm not 100% sure, or I'm not 100% on the boat that there is some strife between them, because it seemed like, you know, the season started and there was some, you know, reports that they weren't really getting along, and then there were reports that they were getting along and they looked like it on the pitch, and now it seems like there's something else going on. I don't know. I don't think there's necessarily anything. Maybe Messi just didn't have eyes on Griezmann at the times of some of these passes. But like I said, I'll keep an eye out for it, and you know, we'll touch on it more and, you know, accumulate some data on it.
True. I like that. Yeah, let's keep me posted on what you think. You know, if I think about other aspects of the game, you know, we kind of touched on De Jong, how he's not looking as great. Arthur did not look very good. I guess the overarching thing, and I already mentioned this once today, but I think we really need to have Vidal start every game.
No, he's definitely a intricate part of our current formation, especially under Setien. I think he thrives even more than he has been under Valverde, just because I think with, you know, some of the space that we're creating in some of these games, it's still not ideal. Like, we still don't have the wingers opening up as much space as I'd like, but like you were talking about earlier, with Busquets falling back almost, it seems like Messi also falls more towards the middle and starts making some of these passes like we saw in this game. Some of them to Fati, which both of them actually, and he scored twice. But maybe that's opening up a little bit of space. Semedo seems to have a little more free reign on the right side. So, yeah, I agree with you on the Vidal point. I think it's a way for us to open up some offensive capabilities, and I just hope that that doesn't affect our defense too much.
I think as we kind of look forward to the Copa del Rey quarters against Bilbao this Thursday, the one thing I will say about Setien is I definitely noticed that he's trying to make changes every game to make the team better. You know, I think we're still kind of playing around with formations, right? We went from the 3-4-3 to more of a 4-3-3, which I think has been positive. Mm-hmm. But it's not like under Valverde, where sometimes it seemed like he was trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, right? Valverde would just like play the same players like and beat you to death over the head with like a dead fish. You know, he would really, I don't know. He would play the same players, and then he would do this stupid offense that I used to hate, where basically we would just pass the ball around from our backs to our defenders, you know, and we'd do it back and forth, just over and over until Messi did some sort of magic and we won. And so at least with Setien, like, it seems like whenever we have the game and there's something to criticize about how he's created the formation or done subs or, you know, who he started, he gets it right the next game and the next game after. So, you know, that's one thing that I think is refreshing that we didn't have under Valverde is, like, a coach who is willing to respond to issues and proactively make changes.
That's what I wanted to say, yeah. He seems to be more responsive to some of the, I guess, the negative stimuli. It's almost like a feedback loop that seems that Valverde didn't have, right? Something bad happens. What do I do to change it? Valverde didn't seem too much of a... there's a response to it. Setien seems more inclined to make better decisions, maybe because he's also rather inexperienced for a caliber of Barcelona, but he seems to be making those adjustments to kind of fit the hole and, you know, try something new. As we see, he's playing some of these younger players more often, utilizing them, which I am critical of with Fati. I don't want to be super reliant on a 17-year-old at this moment, especially coming into our third year of the Champions League after two crazy years of disappointment. But we still have Dembele injured, which is an issue. You know, he seemed to have issues in coming back, hamstring stuff. So I'm still worried. I'm not 100% there, but I like the positive changes, and I hope that, you know, this continues because we have some important games coming up.
Speaking of which, how do you feel about this Copa del Rey game against Bilbao? I think definitely we're going to see like our starting 11 start. Going to be like our strongest players, right? There's no way that we rest Messi. I know someone was DMing you on Instagram about that. Like, there's no way that happens. I think we'll see Vidal start in the midfield with Frankie and Busquets, and probably Semedo, Piqué, Lenglet, and Alba. I believe Piqué is only suspended for La Liga and not the Copa, but that's kind of what I think. You know, one thing, and I always make this joke about how we always forget to praise this man, but Stegen has been really good lately. He's been making some crazy saves, especially in that second half against Levante. Saved us from, you know, drawing or losing the game, potentially. You know, I think away at San Mamés, we all remember that we lost that first game of the season there. It's a tough ground, always is. But I don't know. I feel like the team is going to band together and perform pretty well. I'm going to predict like a 3-1 victory.
3-1, okay. So you're still still hard on the defense. I mean, I agree with you. I'm going to go with a 2-0. I think we're going to learn, or we've learned a bit since we've played them, and things have changed enough where I think we'll win and we'll look pretty good. But with the goal being led up against Levante, I think Setien's going to make some changes possibly to prevent those situations, hopefully, since we're talking about it. But 2-0 is going to be my prediction.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you guys listening in, and we'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Thank you, guys.